Hi everyone, and welcome back to Intercontinental Money, the podcast that pulls back the curtain on how money really moves across borders and how to make that process smarter, faster, and less expensive for everyone involved. As usual, your host Hassanan have my co-host with me, Femi, the one and only Femi. How are you doing today?
Hi Hassanan, it's good to hear from you. It's good to be on another Friday. Then this is our fifth episode, am I correct?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I think we should applaud for ourselves. I think we should give ourselves a pat on the back. Every week we're bringing you insightful stuff on intercontinental money. As usual, this podcast is on YouTube. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple Podcasts, and it's on Substack. So wherever you're listening to us from, thank you. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for sharing it. Thank you for tuning in every week. Like I said, please feel free to reach out to us if there's a question you have, if there's a topic you want us to cover, feel free to reach out. So, Hassana, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're diving into a topic that affects millions of students and families around the world, as well as university finance teams. Basically, a lot of people, and this is paying tuition across borders and how international students can save money and avoid delays. Because tuition payments are probably one of the most critical and stressful international transfers anyone can make, because this is not like you paying for a Netflix subscription. This is like thousands of dollars or whatever currency it is you're trying to move across. And the stakes are a lot, because when a tuition payment gets delayed or blocked, the consequences can be very, very serious. What do you think?
So actually, it is thousands of dollars. So I need to give you context. Regardless of the country you're sending the money to, your local currency, and this is one of the reasons why international payments are such a problem, your local currency is first converted to dollars, and then it is somehow routed to the US through the SWIFT payment system. The SWIFT payment system is a system that connects all the banks in all the countries around the world. And then through that SWIFT system, the amount then gets converted to the currency of the country, the destination country. And then they receive that amount. So there are usually about three, four, sometimes five banks or middlemen in between your payment in your home country and the school in the receiving country. So classic example, your school in the UK, and you need to pay your fees about £40,000. So you go to the bank and you say you want to send £40,000 to Greenwich University in the UK. So what the bank gives you is based on the rates dictated by the Central Bank of Nigeria. They give you the equivalent in there, and they tell you the money will get to the school in 5 to 10 business days. Now, this is where the fun part begins. The bank doesn't just open a bank account and send the money to your school in the UK. No, that's not what happens. What the bank does is they send the dollar equivalent of that amount to a certain middleman. Sometimes it's their own subsidiary internationally. Sometimes it's a different bank. Sometimes it's a payment operator. Sometimes it's a payment switch, depending on the situation. And then that person, you know, depending on how big or how capable they are, may have to send it to yet another person before it gets converted back to pounds and then sent to the school. This is why the payment usually takes a very long time to get arrived at the destination, one. Two, this is also why the charges are a lot, because every middleman in that chain, and like I said, depending on the situation, there might be as much as five different banks in that single transaction, sometimes three. I remember I wanted to receive payments last year, and I opened with a certain Nigerian bank whose name will not be mentioned for other reasons. And they were going to route it through. So first of all, my account was opening in their, I think, their Port Harcourt branch or something. The money will be routed through their head office, through a South African bank. And then that South African bank will also route it through a US bank before it will get to where it was going. So now you understand why international payments are complicated, why the charges are so high, why the exchange rates are usually not stable, why there's all kinds of problems in there. So I just thought to share that. Hassana, what do you think?
Yes, I totally agree with you. And there are also some things that can happen as well where things would usually go wrong. And another one can be like FX traps and hidden fees. Because most people don't realize that when you use traditional banks or unregulated services, you usually lose like some percentage. It could be like maybe 3.6% of your payment in hidden currency exchange markups. So this means that you have lost some money due to poor conversion rates. Another thing that can usually go wrong is like slow reconciliation, because universities or these schools often receive lump sum payments from different sources, and without a clear payment trail, finance teams can't easily reconcile who paid what and when. And this leads to delays in enrollment or support letters and all of that. So,
yeah. I remember this gist that happened on Twitter, right? This babe got an admission to the UK. Again, I have nothing against the UK if you're listening, it could be any other country, right? And then she tried to make payment through a Nigerian bank, again, whose name will not be mentioned. And then the schools, for international students, the schools usually give a timeline through which you must pay your fees or your enrollment fees or whatever. And, you know, the money had been, you know, paid in Nigeria and everything. And for whatever reason, the money did not get to the school on time. The girl eventually lost the admission. By the time the money eventually got to the school, she had lost the admission, she had lost her student visa, and she had been asked to leave the country. It was such a very, you know, I think I remember that time, you know, lots of international students were on Twitter trying to fundraise to get funds from other sources to, you know, sort out themselves in school. Some of them were trying to write to the school publicly to please, you know, give them a bit more time and so on. So it was such a messy situation. So it's a real, real issue. And this is not a Nigerian problem. That's the funny thing. It's an African, you know, African Global South problem. So again, if you don't know what the Global South is, the Global South are countries that are considered south of the equator, and the Global North are considered countries that are north of the equator. So by that definition, countries in North America, you now get the word, you now see where the North is, North America, Northern Europe, a bit of Western Europe as well, Northern Asia, where you have a bit of China, Russia, a bit of India, a couple of those places, not all of them, but very few of those places are considered Global North. Global South are generally what you call developing countries. So you, again, you have also Asia, you have Africa, you have a few parts of the Middle East, not a lot, like Egypt. And so that's like Global South. Pakistan, like I said, Asia. So that's, so when you're sending money from the Global South to the Global North is always a problem. And this affects countries, international students from the Global South. They always have these problems. So it's quite a very, very important issue. So yeah, let's now that we have an idea of the context of the problem, let's look at, you know, some of the challenges that international students could face while on this situation. So Hassana, let's break it down.
But also, a lot of people might think that this is a student only issue, but trust me, this affects a lot more people than you think. Because if you are on a university finance team, this is basically about reducing payment delays and minimizing support tickets. If you are in the education consultant or agency helping students, you know how often tuition payments cause friction, especially when parents and sponsors get overwhelmed. So you might think this is not your concern, it's just the student that are affected, but finance teams, consultants, remittance partners, like, this is a whole lot of things to take away in this podcast.
We've in the overview I've given and the context I've given, we've discussed how and why banks generally delay payments. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the sender. You know, some people say it's KYC, it's AML. Again, if you're not familiar with these terms, KYC is know your customer, or KYB, know your business. AML is anti-money laundering regulations. It's usually, it, most times, it's none of those things. It's just because there's too many middlemen that the bank has to deal with. And each middleman has their own processes, has their own charges, has their own timelines for doing things. There are some banks that only process international payments once a week. I've heard of such a bank. I know such a bank. So any payment that comes in after that day has to wait till the following week. Some of that payment. So for example, imagine again, if you're using a Nigerian bank that sent you a payment, the first middleman only processes payments once a week on Tuesdays. And then so the payment arrives on a Friday, has to wait till Tuesday to be sent. And it takes 2 days to be processed. So it arrives to the second middleman on a Thursday. But the second middleman only processes payments on Wednesday. Meanwhile, your payment arrives on Thursday. So it has to wait till the following week to be processed. And so this adds additional delays and backlogs and, you know, fees, just to move it along. I like that you've also talked about the finance department of universities, how payment causes friction, because, you know, we're approaching September. This is we're currently in May, and in September, a lot of international students will either be resuming, going back to school, or new students will be resuming. One remit, which is what we're talking about today, can help solve that process, make the entire process seamless. But first of all, Hassana, do you want to tell us what OneRemit is?
So OneRemit is a platform that helps with cross-border payments. So let's assume you want to send money to your vendors, suppliers, and all, and you're having issues converting this money and getting it to these people. OneRemit will help bridge that gap. So basically, they are helping you simplify this whole process and make sure that your money gets to these appropriate people on time, with the best rates, and just making sure that your money gets to the destination without any problem. Okay, to check out OneRemit and what it does and basically start to use it, you just go to www.oneremit.co. So that is OneRemit.co.
Back to the discourse. How exactly does OneRemit help international students avoid delays? And more importantly, not just international students, businesses like the universities, and avoid delays, avoid friction in payments, make sure that the money gets where it's going on time, and sometimes even save money.
Everything you are doing is clear and is transparent. And with OneRemit, they are like better rates. There's no surprise. And based on compliance, there's also no chaos. There's no problem at all. So any money that you're sending out there, you're not having issues with hidden fees or maybe the delays that traditional banks will put out there, as we have discussed. So everything is getting there on time. What you are sending is what the people would be receiving as well. Is there anything you want to add, Fim?
Yeah. So like I said, this is why I took some time to break down the process of money flow, especially from a developing country in the Global South, to a university in the Global North, or a foreign business. And so the first thing that Warren Mead does is that all of those middlemen, 1, 3, 5, all of that has been compressed into one. So Warren Mead is both the sender and the middleman. There are only two people in this transaction now. There's Warren Mead and the destination. In this case, the university. All of that has been compressed into one. So how does that work? You bring the Naira, or you pay the Naira to Warren Mead, and Warren Mead does not hold the money because we don't hold deposits. We help facilitate that transaction and send it to the school in whatever currency we need to send it to, whether that's euro, pounds, dollars, ensure that it gets to where it needs to get to. And that ensures that, one, there's less time instead of waiting for 5, 10, sometimes 20 business days. Sometimes that same day, or at best the next day, and when it arrives at its destination. Two, it means that there's less charges to pay because all the middlemen have been eliminated. Three, it means that you can even save some more money because some of the rates that one remit offers are some of the best rates in the industry. And again, there is less, because there's also less middlemen, there's less arbitrage to be charged you, the business or the consumer. But more importantly, the student can resume on time. You're not worrying, there's a lot to worry about. There's one less thing to worry about. And the university receiving the cash also has less friction when dealing with international students. I think it's a really, really good platform and tool to use for, especially as students go back to school.
Yeah, I just have final thoughts on it, because at the end of the day, paying tuition from abroad shouldn't feel like a gamble for international students, because the fact that you're an international student, there are already like issues that will come up and all. So tuition should not be a problem as well, because this is not just like, oh, it's a financial transaction. It's a life-changing opportunity. And the current system, like I said, is already full of friction, delays, and uncertainty. But these students and whoever is sponsoring the education should not have to face it alone. And that's why one remit here, so that it doesn't have to be this hard. And students, people can take control of the whole process. And you know that whatever you are doing right now, there's confidence, there's clarity, and there's peace of mind.
I like that. Confidence, clarity, peace of mind. All right. So again, we've come to the end of today's podcast. We'd like to keep it short and sweet. If you're an international student heading to a new school, please accept our congratulations on your admission. If you're a returning student, all the same. If you're a university, or you know a university who needs to listen to this, please send it to them. We can make September a lot easier, a lot calmer, with less delays and less friction. Again, the website is, Hassan, are you going to take that?
www.oneremit.co. Again, oneremit.co. So oneremit.co.
All right. Shout out to Yasana for being an amazing co-host. Thank you for doing this with me. I think I enjoy doing this with you. This is Femi. Till next week. Signing out. Last words.
Thank you so much, Femi. It was nice having this conversation with you, as usual. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. See you next week. Bye.